Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sunup. The Daily Sunup podcast is a conversation with the Colorado Sun. See our trust indicators at coloradosun.com/ethics. It's Tuesday, July 9th. Today, education reporter Erica Brenlin joins us for an episode of our Behind the Sun feature, where we found out more about the people who make up the sun. Before we begin, this summer, go wild for Front Range air quality. Turn your engine off when you're parked to reduce harmful ground-level ozone. Sign up for ozone alerts to know when it matters most. Learn more at simplestepsbetterair.org. Do you want to help the world and your wallet? From now until August 30th, when you open a new First Bank checking account, you'll help save bees, conserve water, and plant trees. Open a First Bank checking account today. Learn more by visiting efirstbank.com/green. First Bank. Banking for good. Member FDIC. Certain restrictions and requirements apply. See any First Bank branch for details. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. On this day in 1842, Lieutenant John Fremont mapped overland routes along the South Platte River during his first western expedition. That day, he first saw the Rocky Mountains. Fremont met James Beckworth, a freed slave turned renowned trapper seeking stray horses. He also found trappers with Native American wives and their children. Further upstream, Fremont visited Jean-Baptiste Charbonneau, born to Sacagawea and Toussaint Charbonneau, who hosted him hospitably. Both Beckworth and Charbonneau later aided the U.S. Army in the New Mexico and California conquests and participated in the Gold Rush. Before we continue, this summer, don't miss Colorado's top art festivals presented by Howard Allen Events. Visit the Downtown Aspen Art Festival July 19th to 21st for national and local talent. Head to Keystone's River Run Village July 26th to 28th for unique art pieces. Finally, enjoy fabulous art in an exquisite resort setting on the 36th Annual Beaver Creek Art Festival, August 2nd to 4th. Admission is free at all three festivals. Learn more at artfestival.com. Whether you're buying a new home, taking a loan to purchase your first car, or putting money away for a rainy day, banking doesn't need to be complicated. Above all else, Alpine Bank wants you to achieve your dreams. It's that simple. For 50 years, their focus has been on you. And for the next 50 and beyond, that won't change, because a better tomorrow for their customers starts with helping dreams come true today. Learn more about Alpine Bank and its services at alpinebank.com, or stop in and see them. Next, our feature story.
Hey, welcome to The Sun Up, and thanks for tuning in again today. I'm David Krause, one of the editors here at The Sun, and host podcasts a couple of times a week. Today, I thought we'd jump back into our Behind the Sun series we started a few months ago, kind of giving our listeners some insight into the people who make up the Colorado Sun. And today, I thought I'd pull our good friend and education reporter, Erica Brenlin, into the Sun Up podcast station. Erica, thanks for joining me today.
Happy to be in this hot seat today.
Well, we'll go easy on you. We did this a few times already with some of our other team, but I'd like to start with some background for the guests. And you and I have known each other since I started a couple years ago, but certainly... Erica, you have the honor of being the first person hired to the Sun outside the original 10 founders. You were Sun employee number 11, so congratulations. Nobody can ever take that away from you.
It's a very coveted position, and I will hold that title over everyone's heads for the rest of my life.
Do you have a t-shirt? Do you have it on your nameplate? How does that work?
Well, yeah. I have a regular Colorado Sun t-shirt that's pretty well worn now because I have worn it many times over the years. The first Christmas I was part of the Sun, it was 2019, and I got Colorado Sun shirts for all my family members. And instead of forcing everyone to wear matching Christmas pajamas, we wore matching Sun t-shirts and took a photo by the Christmas tree. It was a whole thing. But it was great. It was lovely.
I love that. Let's jump into some background. So speaking of family, you grew up in Tennessee, is that right?
I actually grew up in Illinois. Tennessee was one of my stops in the road, but I'm originally from a tiny town called Sycamore, about an hour and a half west of Chicago. I call it the first non-suburb because you have all these suburbs. And then miles and miles and miles of cornfields. And then my little hometown right after that. So it's a really great place. It was a wonderful place to grow up. Just being close to a big city like Chicago, but also having that small knit, kind of closely connected small town life.
So does that make you Cubs or White Sox then?
A Milwaukee Brewers fan because I went to school in Milwaukee. So I bleed orange and blue for the Bears, even though they haven't had a good season since I've been alive. But when it comes to baseball, I am a Brewers fan because I did go to school and had so much fun tailgating at Brewers games and drinking Miller Lite. But now I have converted to a Coors Light lady. You're welcome.
Well, I'm a banquet drinker. I don't touch at Coors Light since high school. So did you land in Colorado for the Colorado Sun job? Had you had been here before? Erica, kind of what's your Colorado story, as they say?
I came out to visit Colorado when I was a kid. Gosh, probably 10 years old. Came with my family. I think it was about June. And we were all so excited to get out here. We all packed up our summer clothes and thought we were going to have, you know, this great vacation in the mountains. Only to realize when we got here that snow is still a thing in June in the mountains. So we spent our summer vacation bundled up in jackets. But that still did not stop me from wanting to move back out here. I had come out to a journalism conference in Denver early on in my career and just really loved the city. I have this really vivid memory of arriving at Union Station from the airport and just being completely enamored with the station and sitting down to write a story and feeling so cool because I was this journalist who was across the country at the moment writing this story to train station. And I look back on that now as such a fun memory because little did I know that one day I would live not even 10 minutes from that same train station. And so Colorado's been a really special place. I wasn't seeking to move out here, but my last stopping point was Knoxville, Tennessee. I worked for the education desk and the business desk for the Knoxville News Sentinel. And I was there for a year and a half and loved it, but was really ready for a change, especially as that newspaper was experiencing a lot of the unfortunate stressors that we see so many newspapers in this industry face, you know, impending layoffs, just struggles with trying to make ends meet on a journalist's salary, kind of a dip in morale. And so at that point, I was really looking for a change. And I came across the posting on the Colorado Sun's website and did not know much about the outlet off the bat. But the more I read about the newsroom and the more I looked into their work, the more impressed I was and excited that there was a news organization out there who was trying to create a different model of journalism and who really was so completely passionate about local news and trying to build a newsroom that would have sustainability. I was also really drawn to these really deep dives that the reporters would do. I mean, you could easily tell that these were very seasoned journalists. They weren't just rewriting press releases or interviewing one person for a story. They knew their beats so well. They weren't afraid to dig into some of the tougher issues. And they also wrote with such eloquence and authority. And I just thought if I could be part of a newsroom like that, it would really take my life and my work as a journalist in the direction I had long wanted.
Was there a certain person or a situation that made you want to get into journalism and specifically the education beat?
I think on some level, I always knew I wanted to go into journalism. As a kid, I was kind of your quintessential bookworm. Just absolutely loved reading, loved writing, just loved really anything that had to do with storytelling. And I joined my high school newspaper, even though I was in a very tiny town, we were very lucky to have a high school newspaper. And so that just was a really good experience for me and starting to get a taste of what it would be like interviewing people and writing and learning the difference between editorials and hard news reporting. From there, I went to this 3-week journalism workshop at the college. I later attended Marquette University in Milwaukee. And it was this journalism workshop for high schoolers where we spent the night in dorms for 3 weeks. And then we learned from professors as if we were in college. And then they flung us into the city to work on reporting and writing. And so it was this really incredible experience of jumping into the industry and learning in a much more hands-on way about how to connect with sources, how to think through good questions, how to find good stories. And that immediately hooked me. And from there, I was pretty much set on journalism. And so I went to school at Marquette. I walked in aiming to pursue journalism. I walked out with that journalism degree. And my last semester, I got a fellowship with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on the education desk. That's where I really fell in love with education reporting. It was not an overnight experience. I remember my second story ever became a front page story. And it was this really complicated story. I think it was, actually it was my first story that became an A1 story. My second day on the job, I still was trying to learn about education. And this complicated story about enrollment in the voucher program jumping broke. I was still trying to learn exactly what that meant. I ended up crying that afternoon in the newsroom because I was so stressed. And so in that moment, I wasn't sure I was going to make it as a journalist or an education journalist. But I really blossomed throughout that semester. And the last story of my experience there was a story about how the Milwaukee Public School District was scaling back arts programming. And that story actually was picked up by the Chicago Tribune. And so for me, it was this sign that I was really headed in the right career, and I was going to be able to do something that I loved, and I knew I had so much to learn, but it just really reassured me that I was on the right step and I had found the beat that was best for me.
I think that, Erica, to me, knowing you for the past couple of years, I think one of your really great traits is that you have a good way about connecting with people, and that's really important when you're dealing with education, which affects all of us, even if we don't have kids, people who don't have kids. And I just think that's a really good way for you to get these great stories is because you really take that time to connect with people. Is that something you got through working on Education Beat? How did that come about for you, that ability to really connect with people?
You know, what I love most about this job is being able to not necessarily give a voice to people who don't have a voice, but give a voice to people who absolutely have a voice, but need a place to use it. And I think that one of the most promising ways that we can improve policies and make changes for the better is by listening to the experiences of people who are directly affected by those issues. And so it's always been so important to me to sit down and really listen to people who are sharing their hard life experiences with me. When I'm writing about a policy proposal or some kind of school board proposal, it's always so important for me to talk to the people who are going to be affected by it, because that is where we find the gravity of the issue at stake. And so I just have always gravitated toward talking to people and listening to their stories and not shying away from asking them hard questions. And sometimes those questions are about difficult life experiences they've had or ways they've been failed. Other times those questions are about ways that they have failed people as leaders, as principals. And so it's just always really important to me to put people at the very center of my story.
Yeah, because we've talked about, I think that's the key to really good education reporting, right? Is at the end of the day, what does it mean for the family sitting down at the breakfast table?
Exactly. And I also think that, you know, it's of course always so important to get perspective of parents and educators and policymakers, but it's so obvious, and yet it's so easy to forget that students are the ones at the very, very, very center of my stories. And so it's become incredibly important to me to try and capture more student voice, because I can write all day long about school budgets or changes to curriculum or, you know, how students are performing on CMAS exams. But at the end of the day, all of those issues are pointing back to the exact same people, and those are the students. And so while I do value getting the perspectives of parents and teachers and lawmakers, the students are the ones who are the absolute most critical voices for my stories.
Yeah, I love that. Erica, last thing, non-work related, what do you do when you're not writing awesome stories for The Sun? What's your favorite Colorado thing to do?
So before I moved to Colorado, I had been camping maybe one night in my life. Since moving here, I'm very proud to report that I have purchased a tent. I've been backpacking. I kind of know how to start a fire and put it out. That's the more important part. But most of all, my favorite activity is hiking with my dog, Hazel. Being a dog mom is basically my entire personality. And I adopted Hazel almost 4 years ago from Arkansas. She was a pandemic dog, and she has just become my most favorite sidekick of all time. So we love going out and exploring those trails any weekend we can.
It's always fun to have a sidekick on the trail. Hey, Erica, really appreciate having a little fun today on The Sun Up. If you want to reach out to Erica, she's easily to get a hold of. It's just erica@coloradosun.com. You can check out her education stories at coloradosun.com as well. Erica, my friend, make it a great week.
Thanks so much, Dave. It's been great being on. And yes, anyone, please reach out to me anytime with stories. The best stories come from tips from our readers. So please do not be shy about dropping me a note.
You can read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. The Colorado School for the Deaf and Blind in Colorado Springs has appointed its first deaf superintendent in the school's more than 150-year history. Tara Spangler grew up in a small Iowa farming community and didn't learn sign language until college. She began working at the specialized school in 2006 as a teacher and later became its principal. She was named superintendent this year. The school serves more than 700 students statewide through its programs for deaf and blind students, including about 180 who learn on campus. Colorado is measuring greenhouse gases on the ground, in the air, and up in space over the next 2 weeks under an effort to pinpoint the biggest pollution sources and determine how best to curb them. NOAA, NASA, and Colorado Health Department researchers are fanning out across and above Weld County. They'll be visiting the region's oil and gas basin, farms and ranches, and busy urban corridors to measure greenhouse gases and other pollutants that generate harmful ozone. Officials say the effort is the most comprehensive of its kind in at least 10 years. A state legislative committee ruled this week that Democratic State Senator Faith Winter violated the Colorado Senate's ethics rules when she appeared to be intoxicated during a community meeting this year in North Glen. The Colorado State Committee on Ethics voted 4-1 to find that Winter failed to meet the Senate's ethics standards. Democrats hold a 3-2 majority on the panel, which met for weeks to review an ethics complaint against Winter. The lone no vote came from Senator James Coleman, a Denver Democrat. For more information on all of these stories, visit our website, coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again next time. Now, a quick message from our team.
This is Christina Pritchett, Marketing and Events Specialist at the Colorado Sun. In my role, I get to witness the Sun's impact on our state firsthand. I always leave our events feeling inspired by those who attend and share the impact that the Sun has in their daily lives. If you're a follower of The Sun, please reach out and tell us what you think of our reporting and let us know how it makes a difference in your life. The Sun is member supported, so if you're not yet a member, please consider joining us today at coloradosun.com/join.